Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
We're glad that you are on the Super Talk Mississippi network of stations or online or wherever you might be listening. It is the Eagle Hour, the end of the week Eagle Hour on this Friday. Kelly Sanner along with my colleague Dima Mixon. And calling all the shots today, Will the Thrill, Tony, producer extraordinaire, joining us from Laurel today. Good to have you, Will.
Man, I'm just happy to be in the building.
Man, isn't it great to be alive?
Yes.
And one of our sponsors today is Dickey's Barbecue Pet. They sponsor the first segment of this show. Dickey's a big fan of Southern Miss Athletics and this program. Leave your catering needs, whether they're big or small, to Dickey's when you're planning your tailgate parties for the upcoming football season. Dickey's would be the first and last place that you would really need to call. Just a moment, we're going to be talking with Deke Adams and his son Jordan Adams, a father-son Southern Miss connection. We're kind of working a theme here. You know, we're also efforting Derek Hamilton, who was on the NIT championship basketball team, his son Kyle Hamilton playing with the Baltimore Ravens. They're getting ready for the football season upcoming. We'll also go down to New Orleans, NOLA.com, where Patrick McGee is standing by with the latest injury reports from the Saints as they begin or are very close to beginning their fall camp. And then Dima's going to get us up to date with another baseball commitment and other things around the league as we get ready for Media Day next week. So joining us, this technology is amazing. Even though they are in two different states, we have Deke Adams and his son Jordan Adams on the same phone call at the same time. Now let's start with Dad. Deke Adams out of Meridian High School, home of the new Blue Turf. if you have not seen Deke, I don't know that I'm sold on the blue turf, man. I really don't.
Well, you know, I was at home this past week and I got a chance to actually see it. It looks pretty nice. You probably need to see it in person because it looks really nice.
Well, we talked about when Boise put their blue turf in, the Smurf turf, as they call it, up in Boise, that animal rights activists were mad because ducks were dive bombing the field thinking it was water.
That's insane.
And they were picking up dead ducks, you know. Anyway, that's yeah. From Meridian. But then Deke was at Southern Miss, was a linebacker at Southern Miss from 1991 to 1994. He was a letter winner all three of those years, had 76 tackles, one interception for 15 yards. Deke, tell us about that interception. You have to remember it.
Well, yeah, you know, we were playing Memphis. Actually, we were at home. We were playing Memphis. We were just in a little normal cover three. I dropped in the curl. He threw it right to me. You know, I think I've got some pretty good hands. But I didn't do what I was supposed to do because if I would have taken it down the sideline, I probably would have scored. And somebody flashed across my face, and I cut it back in the middle and ended up being tackled in the middle of the field.
Well, it was good for 15 yards.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah. It was good for 15, but you know, I was a very, very average player, man. I stayed hurt more than I did play during my time.
Well, you've certainly done well in the coaching ranks. Started his career at Jacksonville State, has been on the staff here at Southern Miss under Elfed. Well, Larry Fedora, we affectionately know him as Elfed. He's coached at North Carolina with Elfed. He's coached at South Carolina, now at Arkansas. Deke, really quite a career, but always on the defensive side of the ball. So you obviously must have something on the ball on the defensive side.
Yeah, well, you know, playing on this side of the ball, I've always just had passionate for. You know, I used to always say when I was coming up, I wanted to be the guy to hit somebody, not to get hit. And so being on this side of the ball, man, has been good. And like I said, I've been around some really good coaches and had the opportunity to be with some great players and really good coaches as well.
Now, Jordan had to have been, you know, a great athlete. He was destined to be a great athlete because his mother, who clearly is the best athlete in the family, is the former Alexis.
No doubt.
Who's the former Alexis Hall, who's a member of the Thousand Point Club, and she was a four-year letter winner as a basketball player for Southern Miss, for Kay James, back from 1988 to 1991. So, Jordan, as we welcome you, you are in Lost Wages right now? Las Vegas, I mean?
Yes, right. Yeah.
Lost Wages is a good name for it, though, isn't it? So you've been up and down with the Angels. And to tell you a little bit about Jordan, out of high school, he had committed to North Carolina, the University of North Carolina. But you guys, let's set this record straight, Deacon Jordan. Jordan, you had committed to North Carolina before your dad was even in the discussion at North Carolina, coaching for Fedora, correct? Kind of set us straight on that.
No, well, my official commitment was while he was there, but the recruitment started, honestly, when we were in Mississippi in Hattiesburg, when Fedora first saw me at the kids' camp and stuff like that. He just throwing around jokes, hey, you know, if you ever want to come play with me, then you always got a spot, this and that, you know, just joking around. And then I got to high school, and it kind of, the recruiting process ramped up seriously. And then, I mean, it was just the perfect fit at North Carolina. A lot of people think it relates to my dad being there, but the situation on the field and off the field was just perfect for me. And that's what I felt like was the best route going into college.
Now, your dad, obviously a football standout. Your mom, a terrific basketball player. Where in the heck did baseball come up in the Adams family?
Early on, my older brother was playing whenever I was probably, what, 2-3 years old, and I got the T-ball with him, and then just kind of just kept going from there. Baseball was the first sport I started playing, and then soccer right after that, then basketball, then probably football later on and throughout, like, middle school. But, bat and ball was the first thing I picked up.
During the recruiting process, Jordan, how would you describe your relationship with you and your dad? Because your dad obviously is kind of in the business of recruiting players as to things you should look out for, things. Just kind of describe your relationship to when you were being recruited, what sort of advice and stuff that you and your dad would talk about.
It was honestly an advantage. We didn't really talk about much just because I kind of learned and from afar just growing up being a coach's kid. And it was just like you kind of get the gist of whenever coaches blow smoke at you, whenever they're telling the truth and stuff like that. So from the experience and aspect of that part of the recruiting side, it was kind of helpful just because I can see through some of the smoke coaches are blowing, and then just limit down to actual schools that I'm actually interested in. Now it's kind of his main thing throughout my recruiting process is don't play with coaches and their jobs and stuff, because he's experienced where guys will tell him he's coming there or they're interested, and then next thing you know, they're not even on the list of, or their school is not on the recruits list of even interest. So that was kind of the biggest thing that he kept telling me was be truthful, be upfront, be honest with guys. If you want to go there, let them know. If you're not interested, let them know as well so they can move on to the next guy.
What's interesting about the story, well, there's so many things about Jordan and Deke's story to me that are very interesting. But, Deke, you and your wife, Alexis, were both obviously products of college educations. You played both at a high level in college, where Jordan, for the record, was drafted into the NLB right out of high school. So how much trepidation, Deke, did you have of saying, son, I mean, it's great that you're drafted out of high school, but what about this education thing?
Well, that night, Kelly, you know, the funny part about it was he was drafted that night, and even the night after being drafted, he looked at us and he was like, well, I'm not sure. I still think I might want to go play football and baseball. And we just told him, hey, listen, just pray on it. Think about it, and we're there with you, and we're behind you. We're going to do whatever you want to do. We're going to support you in this and that. And but I think when he realized the importance of, you know, when he was drafted in the first round, and that's what guys
I mean, you want to go to school, you want to play ball, you want to be drafted as high as you can to give you the best opportunity. And when he saw that opportunity, I think he just realized that it was the best thing for him, you know. And like I was, like he said earlier just a second ago about just being able to, the recruiting process with him, and this is where a lot of coaches missed out because they didn't understand the dynamics of myself and my family, is that the business aspect of me having a job at a school had no pressure at all on him deciding to go anywhere, because everybody knew that Jordan was going to go where he wanted to go. We talked about the pros and cons as a family, but everybody knew that he was going to go where he wanted to go. And some schools missed out because they anticipated that, hey, listen, this is what he's going to go there just because dad's there. And I'll say this, Larry and Gunnar Brewer, man, those guys did a phenomenal job in recruiting him, because I didn't have any aspect in the recruiting process.
Well,
never answered questions in meetings or anything.
One of the great things, not being drafted in the first round, is now Deke and Alexis will never have to worry about who's going to take care of them in their old age. It's now Jordan's responsibility. We're going to take a commercial break and continue with this great discussion with father and son Deke and Jordan Adams. Deke, former Southern Miss player and coach. Jordan Adams now with the Los Angeles Angels. We'll get Dima into the discussion as well when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart in the bright gold building across from the main entrance of the campus on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. It's your one-stop shop for all Southern Miss swag. Anything that can have a Southern Miss Golden Eagle logo printed on it, embroidered in it, sewed on, patched on, whatever, they've got it for you there at Campus Bookmart. I tell people too, you know, make sure when you get that diploma, because Lord knows you paid enough for it, get a nice shadow box kit where you can, you know, keep it encased, put it in your first office, you know, when you get a job, you know, when the government stops paying you to not work and you decide you want to get a job, you can hang it up there on the wall. Campus Bookmart, they can take care of you there. Kelly Sanner, Dima Mixon, and Will the Thrill Tony with you on this Friday as we continue our discussion on the phone line with former Southern Miss player and coach Deke Adams and his son Jordan Adams in the AAA team now for the Los Angeles Angels. He was with the Angels for 5 or 6 weeks earlier this year, and he's going to be one of those first guys that gets the call again from the Angels as we welcome you back again, guys. Jordan, what do you remember growing up in Hattiesburg, and what memories do you have of Southern Miss, kind of hanging around the campus and watching Dad and Mom work, I guess, for that matter?
Honestly, that was my first experience of like a college campus and just what goes on about it. Just being my parents going from there, we will obviously be over there a lot more than we were at the schools in the future. But honestly, I just remember going to a lot of baseball games. That's when, who was it, Coach Palmer, I believe?
Yeah, Corky.
That was the
late
head coach.
Yep. Right. Yep. The late Corky Palmer.
Yeah.
Right.
And we were, so, yeah, we went to a lot of games there. And then just, I forget what the intramural fields were called there, but there's a lot of tailgates there. My mom would have friends on game days, and we'll just go over there, walk around 10%, seeing everybody. I mean, it was honestly just a childhood having, really, when it comes to sports. I know me and my brother love being over at the facilities. We'll go to practice all the time, just walk around, be in the locker room. So it was kind of, that was kind of how I learned how to be a pro within itself.
as an athlete coming up, kind of learning what learning from other guys' experiences, what not to do, what to do, stuff like that.
Man, we really feel bad for you though, Jordan, because you could have played pro football. You're playing pro baseball. I mean, got to be that talented, you know. Gosh, we hate it for you. Narrow it down to one.
But, I think it all worked out.
Yeah, it did. I think it did. Hey, Deke, Southern Miss, though, to you, though, buddy, you've worn a lot of different shirts in your coaching career, but there's something about Southern Miss to you, isn't there?
Oh, no question. I mean, you know, just all the way back to, 34 years ago that I walked in the front door. There, man, and I walked in as a freshman. Had no clue what I was getting into, and I mean, it was played with some phenomenal players, and I got a chance to be around some great players, man. And then just the camaraderie, and that's it. It's just different right now. It's a little different in a lot of ways because now the kids don't live together on campus as much. Our entire team lived together in Van Hall. I mean, we were together around each other all the time. Now, most people make their freshmen stay on campus the first year, but a majority of their upperclassmen, they're off campus. And so that's the biggest thing that I remember is just the camaraderie that we had in our dorm and the fact that dare anybody else walk in that dorm and we didn't know who they were. You know, I mean, you just didn't do that. And you know, just I'll tell people all the time, you know, I've worn a lot of shirts, like you said, in a lot of different colors, but I bleed blue and white, and I bleed black and gold. I mean, that's just what it is.
Blue and white would be Meridian High School, of course.
Correct. You know, and no doubt about it. And you know, they've got a phenomenal guy there that I think is going to do a great job and get the program back going the way it's been in the past. But,
boy,
yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, you mentioned
Fun ride.
You mentioned Van Hall. Of course, it doesn't exist anymore. But if those torn down walls could talk, Demon, there would be stories, endless stories.
I bet. Coach Deke, I just wanted to ask you. So you were on the coaching staff in the 2011 championship team, right? 2011 Conference USA championship
team?
Correct. Yeah, so that's one of my fondest memories as a Golden Eagle in my entire life. I was at that game when y'all beat Houston in the 2011 championship game. And the play that sticks out to me the most in that whole game, and I can't remember if it was Jamie Collins or Cordero Law when they slung Case Keenum back, when they like grabbed his jersey and like threw him back. Can you just – I'm sure you remember that play because you remembered an interception from like 30 days. Could you walk us through that specific play and what you saw from the sidelines or if you were in the press box?
Well, first let me say this. You know, we had a really good football team that year. We really did, and we slipped up a couple games earlier in the year, but we had a really good team. And nobody gave us a chance going to Houston because that's the year that Case Keenum was there.
They were undefeated.
They were putting 600 yards on people, scoring 60 points a game, and Larry came in and he had these shirts made for the team, and the shirt said they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it said on them. They don't know, and it was all basically about they don't know how hard you train, about all the work you put in, all the things that it takes to get to that point. And when we went down there with a different mindset. And to get to that play, I know. It was a huge play because if they would have scored at that point, they were kind of in the position to put themselves back in the game. But it was 4th and 16.
Yep.
It was 4th and 16, and it was Cordero Law. And we knew that they were going to leave him one-on-one. They had been doing it most of the game. And he had beat the guy. I can't remember who the tackle was, but he had beat him outside multiple times that game. So I think it might have been a timeout right before it, but I told Cordero, I said, listen, he's going to overset you. You want to counter. You got to be ready to counter or counter spin inside. And the tackle jumped outside on him, and he counter spin inside, and he was right there in his face and did a phenomenal job. And I think that put the nail in the coffin.
I agree. I still remember that, and I was 8 or 9 years old. So like I remember sitting up there, and I just remember going crazy. I remember walking into that stadium, Kelly, even an 8 year old with the Southern Miss gear on.
So you went to Houston?
Yeah, I was at that game. Yeah, okay. I was in the box in the box with my grandfather, and I just remember them like cursing at us, spitting on us. They were like, what? Like, they didn't, like he's saying, there was no chance we were going to, that Southern Miss was going to win that game. And they went in there, and it wasn't even close. They just humiliated them.
Yeah, that was that one of the better efforts ever put out by a Southern Miss football team.
Classic fans too.
Hey, Jordan, let me ask you, who have been some really cool guys that you've got to, you know, in your limited time in the bigs, and there's going to be a lot more to come, we know, but who have been some of the guys that have been pretty cool that you've liked?
Honestly, everyone. I haven't really ran into a guy, and it's like, oh, I don't really want to be around him or anything like that. But I tell people all the time, Mike Trout is probably one of the most down-to-earth guys that you'll ever meet. He's not cocky or anything like that. He's complete, like, he's totally humble. He's one of the guys that will walk up to me whenever, like, spring training will start, come say what's up to, in my locker and stuff like that. Because you could tell he's trying to build this back up to where it needs to be, and he wants to be that leader, that guy. So he's always one I always brag about with the humility that he has and stuff like that. Another one was Shohei Ohtani, same one. He's like a little kid in the clubhouse. A lot of people put a bad tag on Anthony Rendon. I know it's kind of hard to see through the articles and stuff like that, but I've never had a bad experience or anything with him. He's always been funny guy, joking around and all that. I mean, like I said, there hasn't been anyone that we've had on the team where it's like, I just don't want to be around that guy.
You know, baseball,
everyone's kind of like this.
Baseball is such an international game now. I mean, because you've got some guys that, I mean, Kenta Maeda with the Tigers still has a Japanese, you know, translator. A lot of guys, Spanish is their primary language. So it's kind of a different game than you grew up in. But we know it's going to be great. Look, we want to thank both of you guys. Deke Adams, former player and coach at Southern Miss, now on the staff at Arkansas in that league. We don't want to talk to him at that league.
One of the best mascots, I think, the Razorback, the Hogs. I just think that's so cool.
And there, of course, their season. Deke, you guys are getting ready to rock and roll. When do you guys hit the field?
Yeah, home day. The kids come in on the 30th, and we start on the 31st. We play a Thursday night game in week zero this year.
Wow.
We open up with UAPB in Little Rock, and then we go from there to Oklahoma State, and then a couple more non-conference games, and then we get into the gauntlet of the SEC, you know.
Well, he mentioned that conference that we were
– we don't.
We weren't going to. Hey, Deke, thank you so much, man, for your time. Tell Alexis we said, hey, and Jordan, seriously, I get out to the West Coast a lot, and when you're there, man, I may look you up. I've put on a little weight, so I might need two seats just for me. but hope you can help me out, man. Good luck to you, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jordan.
Appreciate you guys, Kelly.
And Deke Adams. We'll talk to you again soon, Deke. When we come back, we're going to go to New Orleans. NOLA.com's Patrick McGee is standing by. The Saints have got their injury list out as they get ready for training camp. Some of the news is not good for Saints fans, but good, bad, or indifferent. Patrick McGee will break it down when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar and Grill brings you the third segment of the Eagle Hour today in their newly paved parking lot, but still home of the $10.95 blue plate lunch. And if you're worried about skimpy portions, you don't need to worry about that. The entire plate is covered with food. If you're a big guy like me and certainly you want to get your money's worth, that includes your soft drink as well, $10.95. And everybody will be there at tonight, tomorrow, your official pregame destination or postgame destination for Southern Miss Athletics, 4th Street Bar and Grill. And a shout out to the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Genesis of Hattiesburg. Their brand new showroom is open on Highway 98 West. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. Joining us now in New Orleans, as he does every Friday to get us up to date with all the information out of the New Orleans Saints, is Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. That's N-O-L-A.com. And Patrick, the guys will report on Sunday. That's day after tomorrow. They will begin, well, they report to camp within their first workouts mid-next week. But some good news and bad news, I guess, as the Saints release their injury report. Kind of get us up to date as to what's going on with our Saints.
Yeah, it was pretty significant yesterday. The Saints made some injury designations for players going into to training camp. And I guess the big news, but it really wasn't a surprise, is that Ryan Ramczyk is not going to be on the field this season. His season's already over. He's been battling a nagging knee injury that's for a while now, and it appears, you know, it's really threatening possibly to end his career. He was the starting right tackle for the Saints, and really one of the better right tackles in the NFL. But, you know, the team really kind of for months now had really anticipated that he wouldn't be available. They're going to move Trevor Penning over there and see if he works. That is a massive question mark. But the other news that was pretty substantial is that Chris Olave, he's been given a status change kind of going in. It's unclear what is nothing. Report, you know, our Luke Johnson spoke with the league source, and they say it's nothing serious. But it looks like he may be limited or not quite ready to go once training camp gets fired up. But, I mean, Olave is really, you know, your most explosive player on offense. To have him maybe not on the field to start training camp is a little bit of a concern. Chase Young, he's placed on the active PUP list / PUP list, whatever, you know, these titles are kind of confusing. Chase Young, he's probably not going to be quite ready to go to start camp. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. It kills me every time. The defensive end, he's got a torn Achilles. He's probably out for a bit. Unsure whenever he's going to return. Juwan Johnson, he's probably not going to be ready to go. You know, maybe he'll be ready to go season opener, but he's going to be a question mark. Then linebacker Nephi Sewell, who had suffered a fairly serious injury during offseason workout. So just the big news right now, Ryan Ramczyk probably not playing this season, may not ever play again. But Chris Olave, probably not ready to go start training camp, but they don't expect him to be out very long, if he's out at all.
You mentioned Chase Young on that physically unable to perform list, or the,
right.
The PUP list. That's been the problem with Young all along, hasn't it, Patrick? Is that when he's on the field,
he's great.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah.
He just can't stay well long enough.
Yeah, I mean, physically, he's just an impressive guy. He was really good at Ohio State and had a promising season going last year. But he's always just had injuries get in the way for him. And they're trying to get him out there, you know, for the season. All signs kind of pointed to where things look good. They released a footage of a Chase Young workout a few weeks ago to where you tell he's just really in great shape. But apparently he's not quite ready to go to start training camp. And I think it's not really a surprise. But, yeah, we're all just waiting for Chase Young to be able to put together, you know, 17-game season. And if he can be that role player, an extra pass rusher in addition to Cam Jordan or Carl Granderson, it makes that defense that much better.
Yeah, and someone who watched Chase Young in college, that was it was an issue at Ohio State. You know, he was injured in several of those games. But when you look at training camp, I guess, like, you know, training camp in the NFL is significantly different than training camp fall camp in college. What do you look for, you know, coming into the season? What do you think they're going to try to, figure out in training camp?
Well, I think everything, I mean, that defense is pretty set.
Yeah, you know, that's what I think.
You've added some new pieces there. So it's just all about Clint Kubiak and what he's able to do with the offense. I guess another question mark right now is what's Alvin Kamara going to be doing?
Yep.
He left early. An off-season workout, and you know, there's been no word of any real progress towards a contract agreement. We haven't heard any news yet on whether Kamara is going to be ready to go day one for training camp or possibly sit out or whatever. So that's kind of a wait and see thing. But I mean, can Kubiak build this offense around Derek Carr? The signs were positive here over the summer, and how Derek Carr's responded to Kubiak and how the two guys are working together, and Kubiak's more of a demanding character than, say, what Pete Carmichael was. So, you know, can Kubiak get the best out of an offense, you know, that has some younger talented receiver, but overall they've got a youth movement on the offensive line, especially at the tackles. Then you got a Kamara, Derek Carr. So how do you put all that together you know, with potentially two first-year really starters at the two tackle spots, a veteran quarterback. Kamara's, you know, situation is a little bit of a question mark at the moment, but he's going to be good to go at some point. But can he put it all together, and all signs point to where he's going to be really in charge, and that, you know, this offense is probably going to be a little bit better this season.
How warm is Dennis Allen's seat?
Oh, it's red hot. I mean, I know ownership, Mickey Loomis, they all like Dennis Allen. They want to see him succeed. You know, he finished 9-8. He didn't finish. He finished just outside of the playoffs in the second season as Saints head coach. So yeah, I mean, if he doesn't get in the playoffs this year, I think there's a very good chance that he won't be around for a fourth season. That changes have to be made for the organization really across the board. So yes, the seat is very hot for Dennis Allen.
All right. So now that the Ramczyk question has officially been answered, who's the next man up? Who goes in there?
Yeah, that's Trevor Penning. They tried him at left tackle. He was what, 3 years? He's in his third year now. First-round draft pick out of Northern Iowa. Was injured his first year. They tried to plug him in at left tackle early last season, and it did not go well at all. I mean, he just got made look silly at times. I've always thought eventually they would just move him in the guard, but they come back here, you know, the OTAs, and they've got him at right tackle. And, that, you know, they're saying the right things. They say, oh, yeah, you know, this looks like a good fit for him, but it just remains to be seen. Maybe he's a perfect guy. He's a really kind of a bruising guy, a guy that can block well in the run game, but he got used and abused by pass rushers last year. So we'll see. They probably didn't – I don't know. We'll see. I'm just not a big believer in Penning at this point just because he ain't shown it yet.
And you talked about, will Kubiak, as the new offensive coordinator in New Orleans, be able to run an offense around Derek Carr. What and has it ever really been discussed, Patrick, publicly as to what they feel are the strengths of Derek Carr and what they think primarily he brings to the table at the QB position?
Well, I think they figured out late last year that he's really strong in play action. And I think that's whenever we saw him at his best. And he did get healthier there in the latter stage of the season. So I think now Kubiak and everybody in the Saints organization has a better understanding of how to make this offense work around the Derek Carr. So I think we see everybody's been really harsh and critical of Derek Carr, but I'm cautiously optimistic that Carr is going to put together a good season this year. His numbers weren't dreadful last year by any stretch of imagination. If he can just take a slight step forward, the Saints are going to be very much in the playoff hunt.
How long has he been signed for, and do they anticipate that Rattler could be developed and maybe be the next guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think they think Rattler can be the dude eventually, but there's just so much work to be done. Rattler was kind of a little bit behind when he first got into OTAs, but there was progress throughout. But yeah, they restructured Derek Carr's contract. It was a 4-year deal, you know, for Carr, but I think that there's only really 1 year guaranteed after this season. I don't have his contract details in front of me, so I think they're probably stuck with him for at least two seasons at starter. Two more seasons.
Dima, you're not a big Spencer Rattler fan.
I am not a big Spencer Rattler.
No, I'm not either. I thought it was a bad choice.
Yeah, I think that was a horrible draft pick.
Yeah. Now there's that potential with Rattler. He's a gifted thrower, you know, he's got a very strong arm. But he's a guy that, to me, is going to throw 25, 30 interceptions if he's out there.
I agree. I mean, he was like a Heisman favorite at Oklahoma, and you look how far he dropped off. So
Well,
I can't believe they selected him.
You know, us old guys, we're comparing everybody to Bobby Hebert. You know,
speak for yourself.
You know, but do you remember Bobby Hebert?
I was not around in his playing days.
Oh, you guys, come on now!
I don't even know who that is.
The Cajun Cannon. You know, he was. was it that long
ago?
He got
his own restaurant and stuff. And he's a radio guy now.
I mean, I know who he is. I just never seen him play.
Oh man, those were the Mora years. Right?
Yeah. It was all defense back then, but Hebert could kind of get a little fire in them every now and then on offense.
Well, the Saints report on Sunday the 21st. They'll get all their lockers lined up and ready to go, and they'll hit the field on the 24th. And they don't spend a whole lot of time getting things ready because the exhibition season begins very shortly after that in what's already an abbreviated now preseason because of the 17-game schedule. And every step of the way, Patrick McGee will be keeping us up to date as to what's going on as we cheer on our favorite team in the NFL, the New Orleans Saints. When we come back, Dima Mixon has two breaking stories, one out of the Southern Miss baseball program and one out of the Southern Miss football program. It involves personnel, both coaching and playing, and he'll have those details. By the way, Patrick, thanks again, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, he already left us. Okay. And Dima will have those updates when we return in a moment.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Late breaking news in baseball and football at Southern Miss in just a moment. This segment brought to you by DBAT Training on Highway 98, just off of Interstate 59. Your one facility to take care of your youngsters in the offseason for baseball and softball, whether they want to get physically fit, improve their running times, or just take a couple of cuts in the air-conditioned, pristine, clean, always squeaky clean at DBAT. Also, a shout-out to Mobay Beignet Company at 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. The students will be coming back to town soon. It's one of the favorite study spots for all the students, and those beignets, you can't get them anywhere as good as Mobay Beignet, and it all comes down to freshness. They don't even make them until you order them. It doesn't get any fresher than that.
They have Kelly's favorite powdered sugar, too.
Yes. I get so much powdered sugar on me. What'd they say that I look like I had come from a party at Rick James's house?
Yeah. You know?
Rick James, you'll have to Google him. He was a guy that liked,
I think I have a clue.
He liked the nose candy back
yeah,
in the day.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Okay.
You were showing a little bit.
The Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn, or you can just ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Monday on the program, we are efforting Dalton McIntyre, the latest Golden Eagle baseball player to be drafted. He was taken in the 19th round by the Atlanta Braves, and all indications, strong indications, are that he is going to accept the Braves' offer and turn in the Golden Eagle uniform for a Braves uniform. And while we're on college baseball, Dima, particularly Southern Miss baseball, get us up to date with a couple of late-breaking stories from both baseball and football.
Yeah, so first and foremost, this broke yesterday. Southern Miss was able to get a signee, another commitment in the class of this signing class, who they have deemed as one of the best signing classes in Southern Miss baseball history. They had Camden Rogers. He announced his commitment on Twitter. Some people might have seen Coach Ladd Rhodes tweet out a GIF, because I saw that and then was kind of confused at what it was. But it was a GIF of Colby Allen striking out someone, and that was like the whole only tweet. So that obviously means this pitcher that they just named in the class. So Camden Rogers, I looked up some of his stats: mid-90s fastball, good movement. So another good arm, and another arm for Christian Ostrander to start utilizing and developing.
High school player?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be probably the class of
26.
26 now, yes, yeah, because yeah. 25 has already 25 been put to already done. So this is not a transfer portal guy or anything like that?
It's his Trinity Christian, 25, and he's from Peachtree City, Georgia.
Okay, right outside of the ATL.
Yeah, that's right.
Bob Getty, by the way, will be back on Monday. If I said the ATL, he'd make fun of me.
He would. That's right.
Yeah, because I lots of times call cities by their airport codes. ATL.
Is New Orleans MSY?
It is. Good for you, Dima.
Well, we would be PIB.
Right.
That's correct.
Pine Belt.
Yeah.
And what's Chicago?
ORD.
Good. Good for you,
that's
man.
Right.
Yep. I know most of them. I'm not going to lie. I love airports.
Airport codes for 200, please, Alex. All right.
DFW is Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas,
JFK.
Fort Worth.
Is New York City,
right?
Yeah.
There you go.
See, I'm pretty good.
Good job, Dima. Okay.
Come learn with us.
Football, there's some Southern... Well, so while Southern Miss baseball is gaining a person, Southern Miss football losing someone in the front office.
Yes. So this just broke about... As I hit the mic with my phone. This just broke about 15 minutes ago. So Joe Moreno, who I'm sure we've had on the show many times. Recruiting coordinator. Just tweeted, thank you, Southern Miss, for an amazing 3.5 years. And so... He is going to be the new player personnel assistant at the Baltimore Ravens. So he gets a nice promotion there. I would say a pretty big loss for Southern Miss. This is a guy who is really involved with a lot of recruiting. He's a recruiting strategic person, you know, who strategizes the recruiting. So I think a big loss. I see him all the time on the football field, always powering the team. So kind of a, I would say, developing loss, shocking loss. But good for him. That's a great gig and to be elevated to the National League.
And, of course, the Southern Miss connection there is the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens is Todd Monken.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
And I think Monken is just a matter of time now before he's going to get
he's
to be.
He's going to have a head job.
Yeah,
I'm surprised it hasn't already happened.
Yeah, and I mean, I hate it that Moreno has to work for the Ravens because they're in the same, he's going to do a good job, and they're in the same division with the Bengals. I don't want him to do a good job. If you're a Bengals fan.
I think I could coach against the Bengals and probably win.
Hey, now the Bengals, you guys got to cut me some slack. My Bengals are all right. If we can keep Burrow healthy.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think Joe Burrow has the chance of being the next Tom Brady. I really do.
So you hold him in higher regard than Spencer Rattler?
Yes. Just about 10,000 to 1.
You're not normally very animated, Dima. When I brought up Spencer Rattler, you about threw up your lunch.
I did. He's terrible. I'm sorry, but he's horrible.
Well, maybe they can develop him a little bit.
I'm sure they'll have a chance.
But we congratulate Coach Moreno on moving to the NFL and another baseball player. The class of 26 now, you'll be starting to hear
more names.
Yeah, more names come out as at Southern Miss Baseball. They don't rebuild. They simply reload. Bob Getty will be rejoining us on Monday, and of course on Tuesday I will be at Media Day in New Orleans. Then Demon will take his turn Media Day on Wednesday. On Tuesday, the Eastern Division squads of the Sun Belt will be featured, and we're going to get to talk to the two coaches that from Marshall and from James Madison, the new coach. Those are the two crossover teams that Southern Miss plays. We'll also have the commissioner. Dima will have all the Western coaches. And, man, it's just going to be a great week
week. And they always give us great food.
Yeah. Oh, that's the biggest thing.
That is the biggest thing.
Driving all the way to New Orleans just to get that food. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope we can soak in some of this rain. We need it badly. Bob Getty again returns on Monday. For Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Will the Thrill Tony, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. Until we talk to you Monday at 1 o'clock, Southern Miss
to the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.